This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Welcome home. If you are looking for home birth stories, well then, my friend, you are in the right place. We're so excited to have you here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Check out the show notes, all the ways that you can connect with us, learn more about doing it at home, get your Doing It at Home book, follow us on social media, get your home birth swag. It's all there for you. Today, we have a Doing It at Home classic episode. It is an HVAC story for you. I know we get requests for that often and people inquiring about HVAC stories. So we've got them. You believe. Go scroll through that feed and there's a lot of HVAC stories as well as a wide variety of variations of normal. We aim to do that for you to bring you the different ways that home birth can look. So enjoy today's episode. See you next week. I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
We had a home birth back in 2016.
So we started a podcast about it.
And then grew it into a birth brand to help future and current parents believe in their success with home birth.
This is the place to hear home birth stories along with helpful resources and tips to feel empowered and supported in your birth journey.
This is Doing It at Home. We have an HVAC story today, and we're chatting with Kara Lambert. And Kara shares her birth journey with us and how her first birth, which was a cesarean birth with her son, Theo, she kind of felt a sense of failure after that birth. And I think that is something that is unfortunately all too common, and too many are out there with a sense of failure related to their birth. And I honestly believe that one person is too many. And yet, what I believe we can do around that is have powerful conversations, create space for healing and integration and acceptance of our experiences. And I think Kara does a really great job of doing that in sharing her story so bravely and boldly. And resources helped Kara, like I Can, and that has come up a bunch on the show for other VBAC and HVAC mamas out there. And she and her husband, Russ, started to work with an OBGYN for their second pregnancy, but then a pandemic hit. And so they thought, well, what if we home birth? And so they worked with their badass midwife, as we call her, and she is lovingly referred to throughout this episode. And they actually utilized an OBGYN as well. So they did dual parallel care, which we've heard about that as a great example for those that that works for and want both of those touch points. And the birth itself, you know, Kara would kind of describe it as lazy, actually, which I find so funny and awesome because, you know, there it is as lazy. But what I think it's really signifying is just the normalcy of the experience and how it could be really peaceful, despite a lot of ways that it could have not been peaceful or felt as peaceful. And of course, we get to hear about the entrance of baby Kiara into the world. And I started doing this in the show notes, and I think it's something fun and cool and just gives you some keywords and highlights to look for, to think about when you're looking at each episode. So I'm going to do it again and continue this and wrap up the description of the episodes with this birth story includes. And then I'm just going to include a couple of things, like a list of keywords or experiences or phrases or things that are relevant to it. It might jump out to you and pop out for you as something that you want to, you know, key in on and listen in on to hear more. So this birth story includes, but of course is not limited to, acupuncture and moxibustion, midwife's brew, a peanut ball, and that is not a snack, by the way, despite what Matthew thought, and a big storm coming, of course, at the time of birth. So there you have it. Quick word from our sponsor, and then we'll hear from Kara.
Ignite your passion for discovery at the COSI Science Festival May 1st through the 4th. Experience 3 days packed with interactive community events featuring exhibits, live demos, and engaging conversations with experts in science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. And on Saturday, May 4th, join us for the free Big Science Celebration featuring over 100 exhibitors, all with interactive activities to share. And of course, there will be larger-than-life science demonstrations, live music, and more from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. just outside of COSI. Visit cosiscifest.org. To learn more.
Hey, Kara, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm so good, you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. This is great. We got some daylight savings, time zone shifts, and
we're here. All
still managed to be here at the time where we said we would. And we're just really grateful for you, Kara. So thank you.
Thank you, guys. Again, I totally followed your podcast all through my pregnancy this time. So it's kind of crazy to be on it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Cool. We love to hear that.
Yeah.
So let's set the scene here. Share a little bit about you and your family and what you're up to.
Sure. So me and my husband live in the suburbs of Chicago. We're about an hour north of the city with my almost 4-year-old Theo and our baby Kiara. We have two dogs. I sit on the board of Mundelein. So I am a trustee in the town. And then I also manage a swim school in town. So that's kind of keeps me busy as well as being a mommy full time.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, you got just a couple things going
on. Just a few. And I actually just accepted a leadership position that I'm still doing my training with ICANN of Chicago. So the International Caesarean Awareness Network. Hopefully going to be able to be a resource for mamas that are, newly postpartum or planning for their second birth and, going for a VBAC or just trying to get more resources around it. So
that's amazing.
That's really
and
cool.
Did you utilize that when you were in your process?
I did. So when I had my son almost 4 years ago, it was super traumatic. Mm. It was an emergency C-section and afterwards, I was so disappointed. I didn't know what to do. I was, it was a mess. And so I looked for resources to help me and I found ICANN quickly and I started reading and they were like, a VBAC is possible. And I was like, what's a VBAC? And so I started doing all this research. And so after that, when I got pregnant the second time, we knew that a VBAC was something that we wanted to go for. And ICANN definitely taught me that there's resources out there that will help you achieve your goals. So
yeah.
Yes.
And why did you want to go for that? You said that connected with you. I'm just curious why, because there might be other mamas who are post cesarean or if they're thinking if that's a possibility in their future, why for you?
So when I got pregnant with Theo, I knew that I wanted a natural birth. We went down the path of researching natural birth and I started to kind of get in the rabbit hole of all things birthy. And my practitioner at the time was a midwife and I had always seen her for all of my general care. She worked in a doctor's office and she was the nurse practitioner that I got to see all the time. So I didn't have to wait for the doctor and her and I bonded right away. And I knew that she promoted natural birth and that was something that I wanted just because I felt like it was better for both me and the baby. And now knowing it's fine to have a C-section. It was fine. It was no big deal. Theo is super healthy. I'm super healthy. But at the time I wanted to make sure that I wanted to achieve the most optimal outcomes. And for me, that was a natural childbirth. Mm-hmm. And so when I didn't achieve that, I felt like, and this is silly to say now, but it felt like I had failed somehow and that I had done something wrong because it didn't go according to my plan. And that's probably me just being completely type A. And that's, I'll embrace that every day. But it just didn't go according to my plan. So it was important to me to know that there was resources out there that could help me achieve the birth that I envisioned and having kind of control over that situation. Because I felt like with Theo, things sort of spiraled out of control really fast during birth.
Yeah. And when you said, feels like I failed, I don't think that's silly at all, because I think that's very real. And I think that is a phrase or any variation of it is something that a lot of women, mothers, birthing people feel after their births, whether it was a cesarean or just any aspect of it that wasn't the way that you thought it would go or that you ideally wanted, or you feel like your best interest wasn't at the forefront of the experience or whatever, all of that. There could be a million reasons, but I think that's a very common sentiment, this feeling of failure.
Yeah. And, you know, it even starts with like the vernacular that physicians use. Like, you know, that my doctor was like, what was a failed induction?
Yeah.
So you hear that right when you're postpartum and there's, you know, your body is like consumed with hormones and you're all over the place, especially with your first baby. And you hear these words and it's pretty shocking to hear, you know, that you failed. And in reality, it's like kind of like the healthcare system failed you. You know, I got induced at like 39 weeks plus 4 days with a first baby. Looking back, like that was not really the brightest idea.
Yeah, I think your point of the vernacular and the energy of words that we put around all things birth and care of it could really use an overhaul. I mean, like you just said, the failed induction, failure to progress is something that we hear. I've heard incompetent cervix. What?
You know, and we try to teach our kids like words matter. Yeah. You know, I know I try to teach Theo all the time, like words matter and like what you say matters. And it feels to me that the healthcare system hasn't really learned that lesson.
I agree. I totally agree. There's a huge area of opportunity there for upgrading the energy of the words that we use.
That's why I liked when we did HypnoBabies, because they were so intentional about shifting words around from contraction to pressure waves, and labor was, do you remember?
I think it was just birthing time.
Birthing time, It was, so just the whole conversation about words and the power behind them, and then what they can do to people. It's important.
Yeah, I agree.
So Kara, you were clear then that you were aiming for another natural birth, but then when and how did home birth come into the mix, and who did you talk to? Who helped you, you know, kind of how was that unfolding?
Yeah. So, you know, I knew I wanted a VBAC, and I you know, did a lot of research, and the top provider in our area is who I chose, and it was a doctor. And we met with him, and he's not exactly like the biggest people person. And so I never really felt like bonded or connected with him, but I knew like this was the guy. If you wanted to be back, this was the guy. And so my husband and I totally saw an OB, and then March hit and the pandemic hit. And I can remember sitting, it was a Sunday, and I was working at my job, and New York was starting to shut down hospitals, and doulas were not allowed to be in hospitals. And there was this rumor that husbands weren't going to be allowed in hospitals. And I freaked. And I was like, oh my God, I'm supposed to have a baby in 10 weeks. And I want my husband to see the birth of his daughter. So I called my doula, who we had hired early on, who was amazing. And I will forever be grateful to Lara. I called her like in tears. And I said, what if we home birth? And she said, heck yeah, girl, you tell me what you want to do and I will find you a provider. And I said, well, I feel like it's my best chance to have a normal childbirth in the midst of all of this. And I think maybe we should start looking down that route. And so she said, all right, great. She's like, I know two midwives. So Illinois doesn't allow CPMs, so certified professional midwives. Okay. They are not licensed here, which is insane to me, but you know. And so she's like, I know two that will do an HVAC, which is a home birth after a C-section. And she gave me the names and she said, you know, one is kind of like soft and frilly and gentle. And the other one is kind of like a badass. And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to need kind of a badass. So I called. And that is the most accurate description of my midwife ever. So I called Barb, and the next day, literally sent her an email. I went home that night. I told my husband. My husband's like, I have so much faith in you. Like, it's your body. I see what you're capable of. Like, let's talk to her, which I was shocked. You know, most husbands probably aren't that receptive. But he knew, he, like he said, he had full faith in my body and like what I wanted to do. So he was game. So we emailed my midwife literally that night, and the next day we had a phone call with her, and she is a badass. Like, she had blue tips in her hair. She had, like, you know, she would has her nose pierced. Like, she's the epitome of badass. Like, everything about her, like, her energy, I was like, oh my God, yeah, you are amazing. So we set up a phone call and we talked, and then we eventually went down and met her in person. And when we met her, she had on a dress and combat boots. And I was like, yes, this is my person.
Badass, like, Barb.
That's cool.
Yeah, badass Barb. She really is. And we left, and my husband's like, well, we're definitely not going with a doctor because I'm afraid of her, and that is what we need. Me too. So, like, the whole time I was in labor was like, I was joking around, well, I can't let Barb down, so I got to get through this. But so I continued what they call parallel care, where I saw my doctor and I saw the midwife on the side. And that was just in case anything went wrong or anything we needed to transfer, I would transfer under his care. And that was important to me because even if I needed to transfer, he was like the VBAC celebrity.
The guy. I've got a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, like, so we did parallel care, and then the pandemic still rolled on, and I was seeing the doctor by myself without my husband, which was so weird. And then when I was probably about, I don't know, 37 weeks, the talk of induction started, and I was like, oh my God, here we go. And this time I was educated enough to know that they're just talking about this to talk about it. And I knew my blood, I was taking my blood pressure every night. I was still working out. I was doing yoga. I was making sure that I was eating right. I wanted to give them absolutely zero reason medically to induce me. And at, I think, 39 weeks, they wanted me to come in, and I just called and I was like, I feel fine. I'm not going to come in. And, like, that was, you know, super controversial. And I think the most important thing that I learned throughout this, and this is like a life lesson for me too, is, like, it's okay to say no to people you view as in positions of power.
Ooh.
Mm. Ooh. Oh, that's great.
Speak it, Kara.
Yeah.
I mean, as, seriously, as a woman, we're taught that doctors or lawyers or any, pick your professional, that they're the experts, and we say yes to them. And this experience taught me it's okay to say no to a doctor.
Yep. It's your body.
And I knew that I was fine and everything felt fine. And so I think at 40 weeks, it was a Monday. I went in, it was the day after my due date. I went in for a non-stress test, and I went in because I was like, you know, it's my due date. I probably should be careful. So I went in and they hooked me up, and the baby was fine. Like, everything was fine. And the nurse practitioner in the office was like, well, you're not contracting at all. And I was like, all right, that's fine. She's like, so we need to talk about induction. I will call you to, you know, Wednesday and see how you feel. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. And I kind of just, like, left the office, and deep down I was like, oh boy, something better happen. But at the surface, I, like, totally played it cool. And I was like, okay, I feel fine, knowing full well I felt fine. Behind the scenes, my husband and I were doing everything we could to get me in labor. I was getting acupuncture. My husband was doing moxibustion on my feet, literally everything possible. I was pumping, and nothing was going on. So
what's the thing you were doing on your feet? What's it called?
Moxibustion. It is.
I've never heard of that before. Moxibustion.
It's crazy stuff. It's kind of like acupuncture that you can do at home. So it works with the same kind of pressure points, but it's literally, it's a stick. It's a big, think of like a big fat incense stick. And you, my husband would say, let me burn your feet, babe. It was super romantic. But you're basically dealing with the same pressure points as you would with acupuncture.
I'm Googling it right now.
He's learning.
Moxibustion.
Learning. And I didn't know about it either. But you know, here's the other thing. We were in the midst of a pandemic. I couldn't go get a pedicure. I couldn't go get a massage. I couldn't go do the things that, like, would relax you. But acupuncture was open, and I don't know if you've ever had acupuncture, but it is so relaxing. So getting that was, like, sort of a reprieve, because it was, like, something I could do, like, self-care-wise.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and just more and more moments like that will build upon each other to create that space for your body to relax and for things to open up.
Yeah, exactly. And so and then I started pumping because I knew like, okay, we're at 40 weeks plus a day. I'm getting antsy. I'm uncomfortable. I'm locked in my house with a 3.5-year-old because we're in the midst of a shutdown in Illinois. This baby's got to happen, man. And so my due date was a Sunday, and Tuesday night I was pumping and I was on the phone with my cousin and she's like, how are things going? And all of a sudden my water just burst like out of a movie. Like it was insane. And I was like, holy guacamole. And I was like, hey Jen, I'll call you back because my water just broke. And she was like, okay, good luck. Like, let us know what you need. And so went to the bathroom, like text my midwife. I was like, my water broke. And she's like, well, is it clear? And I was like, yeah, everything's fine. And she's like, well, send me a picture of it. And like, that's how you know you're dealing with a midwife, when she's like, send me a picture of
it. Definitely. All the water, fluids, yeah. All of the attachments with fluids.
Yeah, exactly. So I know I'm going to like go through my photos on next year on like this day, and I'm going to see a picture of like my mucus plug.
Oh yeah, Google's going to remind you. Yeah. Look at this beautiful picture.
Yeah. Exactly. What a shot. So my husband freaks out and is like, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to take a shower and we got to go to bed because you have to be rested. Because when we had talked to our friends that had a home birth, the husband was big on make sure you rest, make sure you rest, make sure you rest.
Yeah.
And so Russ was all about, we got to go to bed. And so I took a shower, went to bed. Every time I moved, I like gushed more fluid. But nothing happened. So like, here we were, my water's broken and nothing's going on, but I went to bed. It's fine.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
You can rely on Atlas Butler for all of your plumbing and drain service needs. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. One call truly does it all. Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
So the next day I had a midwife appointment. And we drove, so my midwife was closer to the city, so it was about 40 minutes. And my husband's like, well, I will go with. And I was like, I'm fine, but that's whatever. So we went down to her, and she was like, you got a ton of fluid. Like, you can hang out if you want. You know, there's evidence-based birth that shows you could go 72 hours, you know, and as long as you're taking your temperature and everything's cool, you're fine. And I was like, okay, you know. She was like, but if you get really antsy, and I was like, yes, tell me about this, please. You could take midwife's brew.
Ooh.
And my husband looked at me like, oh boy, what craziness are we getting into now?
Yeah. What's midwife's brew?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is after he's burned my feet for like 3 days. And now he's talking about this, like my poor husband. Midwife's brew is castor oil with almond butter, lemon verbena tea, and apricot juice. Wow. Yeah, I need you to think about that for a long time because I'll never forget it.
How thick is it?
It is. I'm like getting nauseous thinking about right now. It is like the most viscous, disgusting substance ever. So that was in my head, was like, okay, I could literally like take the stuff that makes me want to gag thinking about it. Okay, good to know. So we talked about it. We got all the stuff for it because, once again, we're in the midst of a shutdown. So we knew we were out of the house. So we might as well stop at Whole Foods and get the stuff for it.
Yeah.
Just in case.
They sell castor oil?
Castor oil, almond butter, lemon verbena tea, and apricot juice.
Wouldn't it be awesome if a Whole Foods attendant at the cashier saw those items and was like, midwives brew.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be so amazing?
Be so awesome.
I mean,
awesome.
Of all stores, I feel like Whole Foods is the spot where someone might be able to pick that up.
Or they already have it pre-mixed.
Yeah, here, we have your bag.
I was thinking that too. We should sell that. Maybe I'll market that. My background is in sales, so like, maybe that's what we'll do.
There you go. You'll have the most satisfied yet unsatisfied customers.
Exactly.
How much of this did you have to drink?
So there's like a recipe online, but it is a lot of liquid.
It is
a lot of liquid.
Matthew's face. Matthew's
me
face
too.
Right now.
My face, same. Same, bro. My face is the same. Oh. So this is Wednesday, so we got everything. And my midwife was like, okay, look, if you take it, just text me when you take it. So the next day, I texted her and I was like, all right, I'm going to drink it at 11. And she's like, sounds good. You're my next birth. Like, you're up, man. Whatever you need. And so I went to my mom's house. I don't know why. Oh, I think our internet was out at home and my husband was still working from home. So we went to my mom's house, who lives down the street from us. And she's like, you're going to take it here? And I was like, yeah, I need you for moral support, which, if you know, my mom is like the epitome of non-moral support, because as I drink it, she's retching in the background, laughing so hard. No. So we like whip it up. It goes in a blender. Ugh. And my husband's like, all right, channel your inner college Kara.
Ah!
Like, yeah.
Throw it back.
Just shut it down. Just throw it down. That's exactly right. Like, just throw it back. So I like drank half of it. It's probably like 12 ounces or more of liquid. I mean, it's a big
That's
cup.
That's significant.
A big cup.
Yeah.
And like, it's thick and viscous and it's every texture you hate.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah. So I drank it down and I have a video of it because it's so funny, where my husband's like, yeah, chug it. And my mom's like, in the background. and my son is just like playing.
Yeah.
So like,
is she making that noise?
Oh yeah.
Oh no, yeah. that's you don't want that noise when you're drinking something gross. Like,
you need to go away.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Take that outside.
But like, if you know my mom, that's like so her.
Yeah.
Like, way to be supportive.
That's yeah.
Really funny.
I said I was gonna take it at 11, but it took me like an hour to hype myself up to do it. And so I took it at about noon, and then our internet came back. So we went home and nothing was happening. And I distinctively remember sitting at our kitchen table, looking at my husband and being like, nothing's happening. Should I take more? And my husband being like, no, don't take more. And so literally 10 minutes after that conversation, I'm not even exaggerating, I had like the most intense contraction.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, well, that's cool. Cause I had never felt a contraction before because I was induced with my first baby. So I was like, what is this?
That's fascinating.
Cool? You know, like, this is really cool, which I don't know another woman that probably says that, but I was like, ooh, here we go. So I like did what I was supposed to do. I like got on the yoga ball and like hung out with my kid. And then all of a sudden contractions were 5 minutes apart instantly. And I was like, oh, this is for real. So I called my mom and I was like, I think you should probably take Theo. You know, I don't want him to like get nervous. And I definitely need to focus through these at this point. Like, instantly they got to that point. And my mom came and got my kid. And as I'm walking my son to the driveway, I'm like, the most like intense contraction again. And I'm like, holy cow. And my mom's like, well, this is happening. And so we got Theo off to my mom's. I called my doula and I was like, hey, you know, think I'm in labor. And she was like, cool. Should I come over? And I said, no, I think I'm all right. So she's like, all right, I'm going to do some yoga and take a shower and then I'll be over. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. Don't rush. Like, I don't know, whatever. I'll be fine. Well, they got intense fast. And I used a contraction app on my phone, and I remember being like, oh, my phone's telling me to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're getting close. So I text my midwife and I was like, well, they're 3 minutes apart. And she's like, no way they're that fast. I'm like, they are. And she's like, okay, well, just keep comfortable. Let us know if you need anything. And I told her, I was like, well, my doula's on the way. And she's like, great. So when Laura gets there, have Laura call me, because she wanted to be able to like assess how intense they were. Because I don't think she believed me that they were, that I was progressing that fast. This is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon at this point. And, so I went, you know, about, I think it was 5 o'clock. I told my husband, I was like, I think we should go upstairs, and cause our birth tub was upstairs, and, I just wanted to be in my bed. And so we went upstairs and I laid in my bed on my left side, and that is how I labored. So my doula got there. She was like, you're handling this like a champ. I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. Contractions were super consistent, breathing through them. I did, a little bit of hypnobabies, like not the official hypnobabies, but I downloaded an app and I, you know, just try to encourage myself to breathe through everything and just like kind of relax into them. And I laid in my bed for probably like 2 hours, like the laziest childbirth ever. You know, you research all this stuff about positions and pain techniques and all this stuff. And all I wanted to do was lay on my left side and just like breathe through them. And so, when my doula got there, she gave me a peanut ball, which, oh Lord, like that is no joke.
What's that?
A peanut ball is, how do you describe, Sarah, how do you describe the peanut ball? It's like a yoga ball with like an indent in the middle of it.
Yeah, shaped. So you, like, oh, okay. Yeah, namesake.
Shaped like a peanut.
Yeah. I thought it was something you eat. I was like, that kind of sounds good to me.
Matthew's like, don't give this woman anything else to ingest.
Seriously, like leave her alone, please.
Matthew is learning so much in this interview, by the way. There's been so much Googling going on.
Oh, I see now. Peanut ball. Okay.
Peanut ball.
Yeah. So it's just supposed to like help things open up, I guess, but Lord, it is intense. So we did that, and then she called my midwife, and I could hear her in another room, and was like, you probably need to send your assistant. So she sent my midwife sent one of her assistants. So about an hour and a half later, this assistant walks in, and my first thought was, holy cow, this assistant is like drop dead gorgeous. I'm like embarrassed to be like in this shape right now. Like her, this assistant was like, I was like, and I remember saying to her like, wow, you are like beautiful. And my husband was like, oh God. Yeah, exactly. Star got there, and talk about difference with a home birth versus a hospital birth. She literally asked my permission to take my blood pressure.
Oh, love it.
That's
and
cool.
I was like, and that's exactly what I said to her. I was like, oh my God, I love that you just asked that. And so she asked, then she's like, well, can I check you? And I was so nervous because I didn't want to be in labor for like 5 hours with nothing happening. You know, like what a mental blow that would have been to me. And so I told my doula that. I was like, I'm really scared. Like, I'm so scared. And so she checked me, and I remember her like whispering to my doula what it was, and my doula being like, heck yeah, tell her that. That's amazing. And so I was like, what's going on? You know? So I was 5 centimeters and like completely stretchy, soft, you know, ready to, you know, keep dilating. Things were good. And I like looked at my husband and I bawled, and I was like, I'm doing it. I can do this. And my husband is, he's a big, badass power lifter. Haha, just kidding. He's super sensitive teddy bear. And he started crying, and he was like, you're doing it. You're doing it. And I was like, okay, we got to get our, I'm like, we got to get our life together. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like
rub some dirt in it.
Yeah. Let's move on. And so the midwife assistant was like, you know, you'll probably progress faster if you can take some contractions standing up. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. Well, those were intense, you know, like you're standing and things are ridiculous. And I remember holding on to my husband, and my poor husband, he applied counter pressure to my back for every contraction I had from about 5 o'clock at night until my daughter was born at 11 o'clock. Mm. Like, and I'm not talking about counter pressure, like, oh, just a little bit. I'm talking full on. His hands were like white from pressing on my back so hard. Mm. To try to like, and it was the only thing that got me through this. because it was the only thing that made contractions easier or bearable. So we got in the shower. I took some contractions standing in the shower, and my midwife was like, all right, well, stand in the shower, you know, like, let me know how it goes. And I can remember talking to her on the phone and being like, Barb, you probably need to get here. And then I would have a contraction and I couldn't talk and I'd have to have the phone out. And so about 9 o'clock, my midwife showed up, and I was so grateful she was there. So right after she got there, I got in the tub and I didn't get out of the tub again. So it was about 9:30 and things were super intense, and it was storm. I'll never forget. It was storming out, and we opened our birth tub was right by we have a kind of a big window in our room, and our birth tub was right by the window. And I asked my husband to open the window, and the storms were like, it was so peaceful. You know, my husband, of course, like, took his job very literally to set up a birthing space for me. So it was only lit by candlelight, and it was only lit by some, you know, Christmas tree lights around it. He definitely like decked out our room as much as he could to make it as birthy as possible, which was so sweet. But it was dark and peaceful, and the storm was amazing. And we just labored there. And I can remember all of a sudden my whole body like trembling. And I looked at my doula and I was like, something's happening. And I didn't know what was going on. It was like, if you get, you know, when you get like the shivers on the inside.
Yeah.
Like, it was like that, but intense. And I was like, what? And I was freaked out. I was like, I'm like, Laura, what's going on? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't know, but it's freaking me out. And I asked my midwife, I'm like, should I be pushing? And my midwife's answer was, well, do you feel like you should? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And, I was like, yeah, I think so. And all of a sudden, like, I turned into this like animalistic beast and just started pushing. And I think I probably pushed like 4 times, and like Russ said, the baby just shot out like a rocket.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, like just whew, there she was. And so Barb caught my midwife, helped my husband catch the baby, which is my husband's like dream was to catch a baby. Even when we were pregnant the first time, he was like, I just want to catch the baby. And he caught her, and immediately, like, you know, they like turn you around in the tub so that like nothing, I don't know how it happens. It happens like so fast, but like all of a sudden I'm like turned around. And this is where we get a little bit scary, and I don't want to like freak any of your listeners out, but I held Kiki, that's what we call my daughter Kiara, and she was gray. And I knew something was wrong. And I was like, oh my God, something's wrong. And I freaked out. And I was like, Barb, something's wrong. And Barb was like, okay, so calm. I'm holding her. Keep in mind, the baby's like still attached. And she needed a little bit of jump starting to, you know, kind of like get her breathing and get, you know, things going, which really taught me how important it is to kind of like have a midwife there that knows what they're doing. Because my midwife did two things. She helped resuscitate the baby, but also her team helped calm me and my husband down, which was
great.
Hugely important. I can remember Star, the midwife assistant, being like, just talk to your baby, Kara, just talk to her. And so I was like, Kiki, you know, I'm here. And so Barb used the, you know, the rebreather bag and kind of bagged her and gave her some puffs of air. And, you know, I felt like it was like 4 hours that they were resuscitating her. But when I look back at the pictures, it was like less than a minute.
Mm.
And all of a sudden she like let out this cry, and then she turned so pink and she was like perfect, you know. So it was just like she just needed that little kickstart, which I later found out that most babies in the hospital do need some sort of help with that. No one hears about it because you're in the hospital and they just do it quickly and no one sees it.
Yeah, that's you a know? Good point.
So, yeah. So it was like no big deal. But at the time I freaked out, and my husband and I were like, thank God for Barb, you know, badass Barb leading me through this. And so, and we got out of the tub, and like, what was cool to me is that she was still attached to the cord, and Barb just like laid me in bed and was like, all right, you hang out for a little bit. And we hung out while, they like took our vitals every 5 minutes or whatever it was. I don't know. And then about, I don't know, maybe 40 minutes, she was like, do you feel like you're ready to birth the placenta? And I was like, wait, what? It doesn't just happen? Oh boy. Oh boy. You know, so I was like, what do I do? She's like, well, you know, if you start to get crampy, just like kind of like push a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay. And I like pushed and like it came out and it was fine and everything. But that is the single, I tell people, like, that is the weirdest feeling you'll ever go through, is like birthing of the placenta. Like everything else was fine. Like birthing the placenta to me was the weirdest part of childbirth for me.
That's so,
and then all of a sudden it's so weird because you feel empty. Like your whole, it's empty.
Yeah. Yep.
You know?
It's,
and so yeah. They were like, all right, we're gonna cut the cord. So my husband got to cut the cord, and they were like, let's take you into the bathroom and like kind of wipe you down. And I was like, can I shower? And they're like, well, the baby kind of like likes the scent of the mom. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm pretty gross, you know, like I'm sweaty, like I know that I was sweaty and kind of nasty. And they're like, eh, it's fine. And so I'm like cleaning off in the bathroom, and my doula comes in and is like, your husband is in tears. Is he okay? And I was like, yeah, he's fine. Just leave him be. And I walk out and Russ is like skin to skin with Kiki, just sobbing. And he looks at me, he goes, you did it, mama. You did it, to both of us. And I was like, okay, calm down. You know, like it was, the emotions in the room were insane. And then badass Barb was like, yeah, mama, you did it. And so it kind of like, you know, made us really like come back to reality. But, you know, then they like clean up and you're with your baby, and we got to sleep in our own bed that night. And it was amazing. Like, oh, so good. And then the next day Theo came and came running in our bedroom and was like, mommy, you had the baby. And we have this amazing picture of Theo with Kiki. And we said, my husband said that night that even in the darkest days, you know, the sun rises again. And like, that is our Kiki, because we had her in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of like huge racial injustices in the world. And then this little ray of sunshine just came in, and it was like amazing. So it was just like the greatest, coolest thing I've ever done. And I, you know, like, I will be forever, forever grateful for our doula, for like finding me my midwife. And then just the whole process was so beautiful, and it was so different than I thought it would be. Like, I thought labor, I'd be like running around the house, but nope, I like laid in bed with my dog for like 6 hours while my dog put her head on my head, and we just got through it together. She was like my dog doula. So
and there's this
it was awesome.
There's this really great photo of, look at your Instagram, of you laying down with the dog on your head. It's so cute.
Yeah. And that was Melly. Like, that was literally my Melly. She literally just like laid there the whole time. And just, and even now with Kiki, her and Kiki are like buddies. They just kind of like lay together.
Yeah.
How cool.
So.
Kara, yeah. I love this story so much.
The laziest childbirth ever.
Yeah.
But when yet, with so much heart and laughter and tears and. Yeah, what were you going to say, Matthew?
It sounds like a comfortable, at least the beginning, just laying on the bed and relaxing. Yeah, that sounds great.
It was super relaxing. And like, I hate that the movies show childbirth so traumatic and like crazy, because my experience was just like, breathe through your contractions and they're going to, and I remember thinking to myself, you can do anything for a minute, like anything for a minute. And, our birth affirmations are still in our bedroom because I love them so much. And we got a Peloton during the pandemic. And so I'm on the Peloton and I always see, you can do anything for a minute.
Yes. Like, there you go.
Okay. Applies to life.
Yeah, exactly. It does. So.
Wow. And just to sprinkle in here, you know, it kind of got alluded to briefly, but you've been powerlifting for years and you were doing that through pregnancy and then have picked it back up in postpartum, in both of your postpartum periods. But I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge that, because there may be other mamas out there who are in that scene or who are working on that themselves or thinking about it. And I just love the paradigm shifting around that, because there's a lot of, you know, preconceived ideas about what you should do as a pregnant person with your physical fitness and routine, and then in postpartum as well. So I just find it very inspiring to see you in that journey and to, you know, see your Instagram and all the posts and just how you've been involved in that, I think is super awesome.
Yeah. So my first pregnancy with Theo, I'll be completely transparent, I turned into like this lazy bum. Like, I was tired. I was working full time at a really high pressure job, and I didn't work out the way I should have. And so I knew this pregnancy, like, I needed to stay active, not only for physical, but like mental wellness. So I lifted through my whole pregnancy. I worked with a coach who I worked with before I was pregnant. And Vanessa was, she's like the best person ever. And she just was like, listen to your body. So we trained, and then my friend wanted to do a powerlifting meet, and we found this all women's meet. And I was like, well, I'm pregnant with a girl. I sort of have to do this, And so I did a meet when I was 29 weeks, and we went into the meet with like, okay, nothing, no PRs are going to be set or anything. It's just like listening to your body and doing everything for fun. And it was by far the most fun I've ever had at a meet, because there was zero expectations. It was like, just go out there and have fun. And then my last like workout was my due date. I actually was due May 10th, which was Mother's Day. And my husband was like, well, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? Cause you can't do anything, cause we're locked down. And I was like, I just want to go in the garage and lift for a little bit. So I squatted and benched like on my due date, nothing heavy, nothing cool crazy, but it just feels good to move your body.
Yeah.
So
Badass Barb was very nervous about me postpartum, because she's like, don't you dare touch a barbell until 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And since I was so afraid of her, I definitely didn't, I wasn't going to do anything to make her mad. So, but right at 6 weeks, I, started body weight stuff, and kind of, she made sure that my pelvic floor was good and I didn't have any diastasis, and everything was fine. I had like the easiest recovery ever. And, we're almost 6 months postpartum, and I'm like, probably say that my strength is about 90% back.
Great for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Kudos.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. For any mamas out there, powerlifting
just
mamas.
Just keep lifting.
Just keep lifting and check out Kara and what she's up to and connect there, because it's super cool. And I just think about from the perspective of what you can offer women in whatever way you do, right? It could just be in how you interact with women, or the fact that you're now on this podcast, but to go from utilizing I can for yourself and now be in a space where you're going to be contributing there after your experiences. And then, pair that with your lifting experience in two pregnancies and in two postpartum periods. I just think it's so cool. And I love that you're here, and I love that people can be listening to you right now. And I'm excited to see more of the awesome things that you do.
Thank you so, so much. The other podcast that I think that was really helpful to me, just especially coming back from a C-section, is the VBAC Link. All sorts of inspiring badass mamas talking about their VBAC journeys was huge, 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 huge for me to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. We'll put a link to that. And then, like I said, this was very educational for Matthew. So there were a lot of links and such that we will put in the show notes, because there were a lot of cool things, modalities and such, and resources that we listed. So we'll put those in the show notes. And awesome. Kara, thank you so much. Thank you to your family. Give them our love and thanks for being please. A part of this story, and, you sharing them with us. It's so magical, and you're awesome.
Yeah,
thank
you. Rock.
You.
Thank you so much, Kara.
Thank you guys so, so much. It was so fun talking to you.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved. Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.